From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues with his second message in a series of studies in the law of God. As Dr. Cairns will show, the Bible is very clear about the relationship between law and grace. Having already dealt with the reasons why God gave the law, Dr. Cairns is now emphasizing the permanence of God's law. In presenting the evidence for the law's permanence, Dr. Cairns began by disposing of the idea that the law began at Sinai with the giving of the Ten Commandments. God gave His law to our first parents in the Garden of Eden, and He maintained it throughout the period of the patriarchs as well as throughout the entire Old Testament. And Christ Himself declared that the law would not pass away until all was fulfilled. The Apostle Paul declared that God has written His law on the hearts of all men, and indeed God's moral law will be His standard of judgment as all stand before Him. Consequently, we see that because the law is still in effect, no one can avoid its authority. The fall did not abrogate it, time does not erode it, and grace does not annul it. People who are truly saved delight in God's law. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? He who affirms that Christianity makes men miserable is himself an utter stranger to it. It were strange indeed if it made us wretched, for see to what a position it exalts us. It makes us sons of God. Suppose you that God will give all the happiness to his enemies and reserve all the mourning for his own family? Shall his foes have mirth and joy, and shall his home-born children inherit sorrow and wretchedness? Shall the sinner who has no part in Christ call himself rich in happiness, and shall we go mourning as if we were penniless beggars? No. We will rejoice in the Lord always, and glory in our inheritance, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The rod of chastisement must rest upon us in our measure, but it worketh for us the comfortable fruits of righteousness, and therefore by the aid of the divine Comforter, we, the people saved of the Lord, will joy in the God of our salvation. We are married unto Christ, and shall our great bridegroom permit his spouse to linger in constant grief? Our hearts are knit unto him. We are his members, and though for a while we may suffer as our head once suffered, yet we are even now blessed with heavenly blessings in him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the comforts of the Spirit, which are neither few nor small. Heritors of joy forever, we have foretastes of our portion. There are streaks of the light of joy to herald our eternal sunrising. Our riches are beyond the sea. Our city with firm foundations lies on the other side of the river. Gleams of glory from the spirit world cheer our hearts and urge us onward. Truly is it said of us, Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
When we hear the trumpet sound.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
how stupid for man to think that the sin of breaking God's law actually frees you from any obligation to God's law. How crazy that is. Even in human law, inability does not lessen responsibility. And we all want to live by that. If some drunken fool gets behind the wheel of his car and does what I read a man did a couple of years back, mows down a woman and her children out for a quiet Sunday afternoon walk on an almost deserted road, wipes them out. If some drunken fool does that, do you really want the law to say, well now, he didn't have the ability to judge distance and space, he didn't have the ability to see what was happening and take the right decision? No. His ability and his inability are willful and wicked and wrong. I want to tell you, my friend, God holds you as truly responsible to his law, to the necessity of an absolutely perfect obedience, as he did Adam in the Garden of Eden. The fall does not abrogate it. Time does not erode it. You see, and this is one thing that has come home to my heart as I've studied God's word in this. This law reflects the eternal perfection of the nature of God. Therefore, it is unchanging as a standard of right and wrong. Now think of this. There are some things that are right merely because God commands them. No other reason. That makes them right. It's what theologians call a positive law. For example, God commanded the law of tithing. The Israelites received it, and I believe he carried it over even into his New Testament church. But he commanded the law of tithing. That's a positive law. Why is it a tithe and not an eighth? Because God commanded it. Why is it a tithe and not a half? Because God commanded it. It's a positive law. But the moral law is not merely positive. In other words, God does not give us the moral law and say, this is right because I command it. That would be true. But he goes further and he says, I command it because it is eternally right. It's a world of difference. You see, tithing does not express the eternal holiness of God. Oh, it's right for us to tithe because God says so. But when God gives us the Ten Commandments, he is revealing to us in terms whereby we can understand him and respond to him. He is revealing to us the essential holiness and justice and greatness and goodness of his own nature. The moral law of God is rooted in the nature of God. Has God changed with time? I get fed up listening to all the blabbering fools who disgraced the Christian pulpit talking about modern man and modern life and modern needs and modern morality. Has God changed? He says, I am Jehovah, I change not. Paul said, Jesus Christ is the same. A great old Presbyterian theologian from Northern Ireland thought that the best expression of Paul's meaning there was, Jesus Christ is Himself, yesterday and today and forever. Has God changed? Well, let me put it like this to you. When God changes, then we can take it His law will change. When God ceases to be unspeakably, eternally, immutably holy, just and good, then His law may change. But until then, His moral law never changes. Time does not erode it. The great issues of the Ten Commandments are not matters that change with the climate of public opinion or with religion or with culture. They are the absolutes to which God holds every man and every nation. Furthermore, grace does not annul the moral law. We read that clearly in our text. The Lord Jesus did not come to destroy it. For believers, of course, the law as a covenant whereby we work our way to heaven is finished. God does not say to us, as He said to Adam before the fall, here is a standard of personal obedience whereby you gain the blessing of God's promise. No, no. You're not justified by obeying the law. You try to get to heaven by obeying the law, you'll end up in hell. For who can keep God's law? Where is the man who can stand beside the holy book of God's law and say, Lord, look at my heart, I'm sinless. Look at my thoughts, I'm sinless. Look at all my actions, I am sinless. I have not left undone one thing I should have done. I have not done anything I ought not to have done. I have not deviated from the absolute standard of divine perfection. Where is the man who can say it? Not one of us. We stand condemned as guilty, law-breaking wretches, rebels against the throne of heaven. But oh, thank God, Christ can say that. Here is the man, Christ Jesus, in His life, in His person, in His thoughts, in His motives, in His actions, in His death, in every part of Him. He can stand before God, as He does, and say, I am perfect. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, having fully satisfied God's law and fully honored God's law, having paid the price of the broken law in the shedding of His blood at Calvary, now saves His people from the condemnation of the law. Hiding in Christ, we're saved for all eternity. There's only one hiding place when it comes to that judgment day, and that is to stand in Him who has perfectly satisfied the law. Let me ask you tonight, are you standing in Christ? Can you say, He is my righteousness? I'm not trusting what I have done. I'm trusting what He has done. Is that your testimony? If you are in Christ, let me make it clear to you, the grace that saves you writes the law of God on your heart. We have read that already in Hebrews 8 verse 10. I'll put my law in their minds and in their hearts I will write this law. In other words, the mark of people who are genuinely trusting Jesus is that they regard God's law. They love God's law. And by God's grace, they strive to keep God's law. Now you listen to me very carefully, for I think this is one of the great scourges of modern America. The Bible knows absolutely nothing. If you forget most of what I've said, remember this. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this glib, cheap, easy, meaningless profession of salvation by faith, so called, that leaves a man without any concern to obey his God. We have populated our churches with people who have made one decision after another, and oh yes, I'm a Christian. Of course, they live like the devil. They've imbibed a theology which says the law's passed, free from the law, happy condition. As I said last week, taking those words in a way that neither the scriptures nor the hymn writer would ever entertain. I don't need to keep God's law. That's why you look at churches tonight. You'll find adulterers in the pulpit and in the pew. Now let me say, a church pew is a good place to bring an adulterer or a thief or a vagabond or a sinner in order to get him the gospel and get him saved. But we have populated our churches with people who can live in open, willful, wicked, wretched defiance of the law of God and then say, oh, of course, I'm trusting Jesus. I tell you, it is a lie. You are not trusting Jesus. If your heart has no concern to glorify Him in a life of obedience, you are not saved by your works. But when you're saved by the work of Christ, He writes His law upon your heart and He gives you a desire to fulfill it and to live out a life of godliness and holiness that will magnify Him who saved you. No true Christian can ever desire to be free from the directives and the moral imperatives of God's law. A man who's genuinely saved would think that it was hell on earth, not heaven on earth, to be separated from an obligation of obedience to his God. Anarchy has no part in the makeup of a genuine believer, a man whose heart has been washed in the blood and to whom has been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to give him a gracious standing with God. That man will say with Paul that the law is holy and just and good. And therefore, I delight in that law of God after the inward man.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.